You are listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Leinster. To find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Today, it's a bit of a recap of basically the past 4 years of teaching here in Leinster, as well as what this means for us. So, to help us with that, if you've got your Bibles on you, we're going to be speaking around Luke 5. If you are age 11 or under, can you come to the front, please? I'm going to need your assistance. Right, I'm going to step out of the way just a little bit. Now, my two beautiful girls have, the past few weeks, since seeing a number of theatre productions, have started doing some theatre drama at home. And I think I told you last time we met that she's already charging us £2 a go for us to watch her own show in our own living room. So I've anticipated the help of Martha and Hugo after your amazing efforts in our Christmas Nativity. Now, the aim of this is to portray the story we're going to go through this morning. So, any of you go into a drama school or a theatre production, they will say to you, the art of improvisation is always yes. We agree with everything that happens and we just go with the flow. Okay? So, we're going to read out the story, and you four are going to act it out. So, we need a couple of characters. We need a Jesus man. Go on then, Hugo. Hugo, give me Jesus. We need a Peter, also called Simon. Oh, Camilla, do you want to be Simon? Sorry, Martha, hand was up first. Do you want to be Simon? Yeah, you can be Peter. Okay, so his name's Simon and Peter. Okay, so the other guys, you can be crowds and or disciples whenever they turn up. Okay, so on one occasion, are we ready? Yeah. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God. So what's happened to the crowd? They're all around Jesus. Wonderful. He was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. There's a lake somewhere. Where's the lake? This is the lake. And he, Jesus, saw two boats by the lake. Yeah, okay. So these can be boats, right? I like that. That's good. So, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. So getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. So Jesus asked Simon to borrow his boat and then goes on the boat into the lake. Simon, which was your boat? Okay? Jesus is on the boat. Do you want to let Jesus on the boat?
He's
not
on the boat.
So do you want to let Hugo step in? Do you want to let Hugo sit in the boat? Beautiful. And he sat down, Jesus, and he taught the people from the boat.
It's
not going how I thought it was going to go. So, Hugo is teaching from the boat. Jesus is teaching from the boat, sorry. And the crowd are on the shore. Sat down, stood up, what do you reckon?
Sat down.
Sat down. Why sat down? So, obviously, Hugo's already read the story. Because as Jesus, who wasn't a fisherman, he is now teaching the fishermen to fish. Because the next thing that Jesus says is, put out into the deep and let down your nets. So Jesus says,
put down into the deep and let out your nets.
And then Simon, who's Simon? Now Simon says, Master, we worked all night.
We worked all night.
But got no fish. fish.
Turn more fish.
But because you say so, we'll do it. Yeah. So, because Jesus, who's not a fisherman, has told the fishermen what to do, we're all going to do what Jesus says. We're going to get in the boat, we're going to take the boat further into the lake, and we're going to put down our nets. So, get the boat, go deeper into the lake, and now we're going to put down our nets. There we go. Oh. Now, this part of the story, being the middle of the day, there aren't many fish near the top of the lake. So the fishermen are probably thinking, we're not going to get any fish.
We're not going to get any fish.
Oh, what are we doing this for?
We're not going to get any fish.
But when they'd done this, they found their nets were breaking. Full to the brim of fish. What would be your reactions? So, they signal to their partners on another boat to come and help them. Do you want to get the boat? So the other boat came over, helped them to pick up the nets that were full of fish. What are you going to be saying when you're picking up all these fish?
Picking up fish!
Open the net and get fish out.
So they came and they filled up both of their boats so that the boats began to sink. But when Simon saw it, he fell to his knees. And he said, go away from me, Jesus.
Go away, Jesus.
I'm a sinful man.
I'm a sinful man.
For everyone who was with Jesus was astonished at the catch of fish that they had just taken. And then Jesus says to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men.
From now on, you'll be catching men.
And when they had brought their boats to the shore, boats to the shore.
Shore.
Over here. And they all left everything to follow Jesus. Where are you going to go, Jesus? Beautiful job. Thank you, guys. So, thank you to our wonderful dramatists. Whilst we're just going through this next bit now, so Martha, Camilla, Ellie Mae, have a think as I'm talking, what does what I'm talking about link, how does it link to the story that you've just acted out? Who were you in the story? What might be their thinking? What might be their feeling? And how does this help us with what we're going to be talking about today? So have a think about that whilst we're talking. So, a couple of things. This story is a shortened Jesus journey. This happens over the case of probably a few hours. Your Jesus journey might take a few minutes, might take a few years, might take a few decades. But what we've got here is the storyline of every single life that is affected by Jesus. And the first thing that he does is that he sets himself in a place where you can hear him. The first thing Jesus does, he sets himself in a place and a position that you can hear him. When he was on the side of the lake, people were not able to hear him. And he was being pushed right into the lake. They were crowding around him. And the way, there's another story, I think it's in Mark, where the reason why Jesus gets onto a boat and pushes himself away isn't just so that he gets himself away from the crowd. It's so that the wind that's blowing around the lake is actually able to carry his voice to more people on the lake shore. So Jesus is sat down on a boat, priming himself so that you can hear him. The crowd can hear what he has to say. And he sits down and he teaches them. He's not giving them a book. He's not giving them five rules for life. He's teaching. He sat with them so they can hear him. He's not a million miles away. He's not some proud dictator, authoritarian, authoritative figure, governmental official, king, that you have to kind of go through a whole lot of barriers to get through. If anything, Jesus removes the barrier himself. The issue of not being able to hear Jesus, Jesus takes responsibility and ownership for and puts himself in a position where you can hear him. So the question for you is, where is Jesus in your life so that you can hear him? Where has Jesus placed himself in a position where you are able to hear him clearly? Because then when he speaks, he then says, go, pick up your nets, take your boats, and let down further over in the lake. He tells people who have been spending their whole lives doing the same thing, day in, day out, with the same expectation, the same routine, the same catch, the same result. He tells them to do something different. He asks them to be obedient. And why do they do what he did? It wasn't because he was a fisher aficionado. It wasn't because he was a master fisherman. It was because he had just sat down with them and spoke with them. He'd spoken to them in such a way that they would listen to him, that they would do what he said. Because Jesus doesn't just tell you what to do of itself. He tells you what to do because he has shown you and taught you what to do, and he has sat with you. We don't follow the rules and commands blindly. We follow them because Jesus has already sat down with us and built a relationship and a time with us. Jesus, we're told to follow a man, not a mantra. We're told to follow who Jesus is rather than just simply follow a bunch of statements. We follow Jesus, not law. So obedience to a person. Whereas today, obedience can be to a whole load of things. Sam mentioned obedience to a diet regime, to a fitness regime. Obedience to your boss at work on how you go about things, policies. However, the modern obedience, in terms of who are you obedient to, is a person, but the person is yourself. Obedience today is often to you. I need to do what I think is right, what I feel is right. I need to take care of myself. I need to look after myself. All this mindfulness kind of well-being stuff, which is good, also has the wrong side of making me the center of my universe, which is never a good thing. You're all amazing, but we're not that amazing. When you are the center of your own universe, every other person is just a planet gravitating around your desires and your will. Whereas when we follow and we are obedient to someone else, we put ourselves, and especially and only, Jesus is the only person we can be obedient to, where we find ourselves around the right center of gravity without being tossed to and fro by other things. So because Jesus has sat with us and taught us, we are able to be obedient to him. So for the girls, and Hugo, are you obedient? So that's a question, because the same question for adults and children is, Jesus has asked us to do something. Are we going to do it? So when Jesus tells them to go and do something that seems ridiculous, crazy, wrong, immoral. What are you doing that for? What happens? They get into their boat, they go out and they do it. They're probably still feeling wrong. They're probably still thinking it's going to go completely messed up. Their emotions and feelings are still what you'd expect them to be. That does not discount them from still being obedient. You can still do it feeling bad. Yeah? The fishermen probably didn't do it thinking, yeah, we're going to get hundreds and thousands of fish today. They did it only out of an obedient relationship with Jesus. So then when they went out and they started feeling their nets were bulging, they suddenly realized the fruit of their obedience was overflow. They suddenly realized that the logical, sensical progression of doing something that seemed insensical and irrational, illogical, is blessing, abundance, and overflow. Jesus already knew what the outcome was going to be before the disciples, before the fishermen even got in the boat. The only barrier would have been the response from the fishermen. So when we have a relationship and a present with Jesus, once we've heard what he's got to tell us, once we've heard what he's got to teach us, and we do it, the abundance is more than you can handle. Because the abundance wasn't just for the couple of fishermen on the one boat they went out in. The abundance was so much that they had to call someone else into it. When Jesus gifts you something, when Jesus blesses you with something, when you get a present at Christmas or a present at birthdays, it's not just for you. It's to be shared, and it's enough for you and someone else and other people. There's more than enough to go around. So who are you pulling in to the gifts and the blessing that Jesus has put on your life? Who are you pulling in? Who's the other boat? Who's on the other boat that you're saying, come, God has got so much here that I need you to help me see how much is really here? So then at this point, once we've seen Jesus teach, once he's had relationship with us, once he then responded to his call, once we've then seen the overflow and the abundance and the blessing that that brings, Simon Peter's response is absolutely adequate. What seemed illogical, nonsensical, irrational, immoral, now suddenly makes sense. Now suddenly we get it. Not in our heads, but in our hearts. It didn't change. His whole view of science didn't suddenly change in that 1 minute. Fish were still fish in that 1 minute. What changed in that moment wasn't Simon Peter's understanding of his whole career has been wrong for the past however many years. What changed was his heart. Which tells me that Jesus can use absolutely anything to change your heart. He doesn't just use Sundays. He doesn't just use groups and the Bible. He doesn't use prayer by itself. He uses what you go through every day. He uses how you think the world should act. He uses your expectations. He uses your hopes. He uses your mundane actions, cleaning, meeting for coffees, doing your homework, wrapping presents, cleaning the car, cooking. He uses these mundane acts that you do every day, day in, day out, not for you just to understand how to do those better, but to see a change in your heart, to be transformed because of the abundance and the blessing that Jesus brings into those situations. And what that changes in us is a realization that we are so much smaller than we ever thought we were. When we think we're commander of our own ship, things start going awry. When we think we are the center of our universe, we realize that nothing else is going to be around us for too long. So the transformation in our hearts is one where we realize that we are not enough. We need not just someone else, but we need Jesus. We need a change in our hearts. So what we thought was right, what we thought was good, what we thought was the most important thing is not. We then realize that we need to change. We need to reorient. We need to reach. We need to change ourselves. We need to repent of what we thought we had and give it over to Jesus. Which is why Simon says, "Get away from me." And with this picture of the center of the universe, the center of our solar system, of course, if you get too close to a big object, the laws of gravity dictate that you're stuck. You cannot escape. You are drawn in slowly but surely to the center of gravity, to the pull and the attraction of that force. So when Simon Peter comes up to this person who he sees seems to be controlling everything that he thought he had under in hand, he needs to get away. Because his head cannot make sense of what his heart has already worked out. Have you ever been in that position? Our head hasn't worked out what our heart has already realized. His heart knows that Jesus is the one he needs to reorient himself around, but his head can't make sense of it, so he says, "Get away from me. I do not get this. I cannot understand this." But his heart has already realized that his heart needs Jesus. His heart needs to be reoriented, changed, based around, wrapped around the person of Jesus. Which makes me think, what was it that Jesus taught when he was in the boat? What was it that Jesus was saying when he was, it wasn't written down, it just said he taught. What was it that Jesus said that was so powerful that when Simon Peter saw all these fish coming out, that his first response was a heart issue? Because you can go fishing, catch lots of fish and call it coincidence. But whatever Jesus said had got Simon Peter to a sense of, this is bigger than me. This is more than I can even begin to grasp. And here's what's amazing is that there's so much of Jesus' teaching that is not in the Bible. It takes a few hours to read every single word that Jesus has said that's been captured in the Bible. But there's so much of 3 years where he spoke, where he sat down and gave people teaching. But because of his Spirit, he is still speaking to you today. He is still teaching you. He is still revealing himself to you. He is still getting out on the boat, putting himself in a position that you can hear him. So that when these moments of blessing and abundance come, our response isn't, "Oh, that was nice." Our response is, "Wow, this changes everything." Our hearts are changed so that we realize who Jesus is in a much bigger sense than we ever have done before. And then once that moment happens, that moment of repentance and realizing how big the gap is between Jesus is and who we are, Jesus then says, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of the gap between what you thought was good and what you thought was right is so big. Do not be afraid that what you thought was to be true is now completely wrong. Do not be afraid that however glorious you feel I am and however sinful you feel I am, do not be afraid because I, Jesus, have closed that gap. I, Jesus, have removed that fear from you. You do not have to be afraid of your lack because Jesus is enough." And then Jesus tells him, "You will no longer be a fisherman. You will be catching and you'll be fishing men." You'll be catching men, fishers of men. Jesus gives him a task at that moment, but not just that, an identity. The moment when we realize our lack is too big for us to comprehend and to jump over, and then Jesus has filled that up for us, he then says, "You will be fishers of men. You will no longer be what you called yourself. You will no longer be a fisherman. You will no longer be less than what I have called you to be. You will no longer be seen as stupid. You will no longer be seen as foolish. You will no longer be seen as the black sheep of the family. You will no longer be seen as the most intellectual. You will no longer be seen as the most prudent with their money. You will no longer be seen as the funniest in the room. You will no longer be seen as the person who has it all together. You will no longer be seen as the most responsible. You will be seen by what I call you to. You will be seen by your purpose and the plan that Jesus has for your life. Jesus calls us deeper into him by, again, building a relationship through what we're doing for him. So he took what we knew, he took what we did, turned it on its head, and uses it for his glory, for his purpose, and his plan. What is it that you think about yourself that Jesus needs to turn on his head and say, no, you've got it all wrong. This is what it's there for. What's your story been? What's the narrative that you have going in your head about who you are and why you are? And how is that going to be turned on its head to be used for Jesus' glory? Jesus didn't completely discard Simon being a fisherman. He used it, turned it on its head, and said, here's what it should have been. And this calls us to outreach. The obedience to the teaching of Jesus and the call of Jesus leads to an overflow, an abundance, and a blessing that is so much that we call other people to help us in the call of reaching out to others, to be fishers and catchers of men. Not only do we get other people involved in the blessing, we're told to go and tell and show other people about who Jesus is. The message we take is about being initiated and being transformed into an entirely new system. Like Simon, science didn't change, but the whole world view of the universe was different because who was now at the center? Jesus. What we're doing is reminding people, telling people that you are not the center of your universe. Your family is not the center of your universe. Your career, your job, your kids, your grandkids. These are not the right things to base your life around. The right thing is Jesus. Because once people realize that Jesus is the only thing to be pulled towards to, that is worthy and powerful enough that will hold their lives in safe hands, is the moment of repentance. And as we come into this year, 2022, looking for revival, praying for revival, this understanding of obedience, overflow, outreach is so important that we realize that it's our obedience, it's our change to Jesus' call and relationship with us that is first and foremost, so that when we are about in our mundane, when we are about in our day-to-day, we see the change and the blessing and the abundance come, the overflow of Jesus' work in our lives, that we are then able to say to others, when Jesus is the center of your universe, everything changes. You change. You're blessed. Your eyes are opened up to the glory of God. And like that verse in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, your earth, your universe will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. God's glory is already around us, but we want to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. So this year, as with every year, we're going on a journey. And this journey is a journey with Jesus, from being obedient and spending time with him, to being blessed, to having an overflow that leads to change in our lives, that forces us to tell others, that changes our identity, not based on what we get out of it, not based on who we are, but who Jesus tells us we are. That we pull other people, not into our own circle of influence, into our own universes, but we're pulling people into Jesus. We're pulling them into his center of gravity so that people will find their own repentance, transformation, and change, and their own story in what he has got for them. So Are we willing to sit with Jesus this year? Are we going to take time, each of us individually, as couples, as families, as a crowd, to sit with Jesus? To listen to him, to be with him, to hear whatever he's got to teach us, so we're then able to hear his call and be obedient. Because that's the start of the Jesus journey. As we pray for revival, we need to realize that the two sides are both our hearts to lean into everybody else's hearts. And again, this journey can take minutes. It can happen in an instant. It can happen in a car journey home. It can happen like being hit in the face with something so powerful and revelatory that you can't help but stop in your tracks. Or it can be something that takes decades. A slow burn that just takes time for you to realize what Jesus has been saying all along. And he's been preparing you for now. So Father God, as we start off 2022, listening to the story of how you called your first disciples, we just pray. We say that we're not enough. We realize that we are so far removed from understanding everything about you, Jesus. We realize that there is so much more to be grasped. But to see that, Jesus, we just want to say, we want to spend time with you. We want to sit with you. We want to prioritize being in your presence so that we can hear what you're calling us into. We can hear what you're saying to us so that we can be obedient, so that we can do what you've purposed and planned us to do, which is to go and tell the nations, go and tell the world, go and tell the people down the street, in the coffee shop, in the schools, in our work, tell our family and friends that there is something better to base our life around, something better to place as the center of our lives and our universe. Amen.